Hey guys, and welcome to the Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report, presented by Great Days Outdoors Magazine. The first podcast to bring you the local fishing report for Alabama's lakes and rivers, whether it's good, bad, or ugly. I'm your host, Nick Williams, and this week's show is brought to you by... Alrighty guys, welcome back to another week's episode of the Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report. Everybody listening in, Merry Christmas. Hope you got big plans hanging out with your family. Hope y'all making big plans for the new year. I know I am. I got me a new 6 weight coming in, and I'm going to be doing some fishing come crappie spawn down here. I guess here in the next month or two, I'm going to be out there throwing some woolly buggers for some crappie out here on some sinking lines. So hope everybody's doing well. Got some big plans. We're doing a Christmas special. I'm excited to do this. I'm pumped up. I just got done having a conversation with another guy about big wintertime bass. So I'm pumped. I'm primed. We're here today with Steve Graziano. I'm going to tell you how to catch the biggest bass of the year. And he sent me some pictures. What sparked the idea of having this conversation is he sent me a couple of pictures of some absolute hammers that he caught up around Lake Eufaula. So I'm ready to have this discussion. Graz, are you ready? Are you primed?
Yeah, I'm going to give away my secrets. Might as well.
There we go.
I've been doing this a long time, so.
Yeah, I know you're a regular on the show, but for folks tuning in for the first time, just give me the cliff notes on your history. You've been fishing since bass fishing was a thing up there, haven't you?
Well, I hate to even tell people my age, but hey, I'm 70, and I'm still fishing. I'm still going after it, and I actually grew up in Columbus, and me and the mayor of Eufaula, Jack Tibbs, went to a high school together, and we started fishing together back in, say, 71, I would think. 70 or 71 is when we started fishing. And we fished here in Columbus. We both lived in the same subdivision. Both our dads were in the military. And we would go down to what we used to call Calhoun's. And it was basically a rock quarry that would fill up with water. They had a series of ponds, and once the water came up in the river, it would fill up those ponds, and we were fishing off the bank. And this was in 70 71, and we were competing. Me and him would compete, you know, just fishing off the bank. And we were what, 15 16, somewhere thereabouts. And so, you know, it's been a hobby my whole life. And I've been fishing Eufaula, you know, for what, 54 years, I guess, 55 years, whatever that is. And I've learned a lot, and I certainly know that the bigger fish can be caught this time of year in the colder months.
Tell me the story behind, before we get into the nitty gritty details, just broad strokes, those fish that you sent me pictures of. When did you catch those? How long ago has that been? How long did it take you to get to the point where you could pull in fish like that?
Well, both of the fish that I caught, it was similar as to the time that I caught it. Not just being cold, but both of those fish were caught early in the morning. And so, you know, when it's cold like this, I think people don't want to get out early because they want to wait till the sun comes up, it warms up and stuff like that. But I really think these bigger fish are very active in the morning. And I got a 10-7 I'm looking at. That was my first big one. Well, I mean, I've had a lot of them, but that over 10 pounds, double digit, 10-7, that was caught in year 2000, January 2nd, I think it was. And it was caught on a little shallow running crankbait that probably dove 10 feet. But it was early in the morning is my point. And the 12-pounder that I caught was in 06. And it was in the morning. So I guess my point is you need to get up early and go early because you're going to miss out maybe on a big bite. I'm not saying you can't catch a big fish through the day, but there's just something about what these fish do. The big fish are very active in the morning. That's one of the things that I want to stress. And, you know, human nature is if it's, you know, 25 or 30 degrees, you know, you don't want to get out in it. But I mean, these fish bite. I mean, they eat in cold weather. I mean, it's a myth that people think that they don't eat, you know, when it's real cold. That's wrong.
Yeah, that's what blows my mind is you sent me pictures of a 12-pound bass, which is pretty mind-blowing in and of itself. But then you mentioned that you caught them in the dead of the winter. What makes the winter time But like you just talked about catching two over 10 pound double digit bass. What makes winter the time to catch huge bass like that?
Well, I mean, these females are feeding up. I mean, they know that they're feeding up for the spawn, and it's called the pre-spawn. It's actually early. It's not really the pre-spawn per se, but they're feeding up, and it's just that's the main thing is they're feeding up.
Just looking to get fat.
It's just they'll get in places. I mean, both of those fish that I'm talking about were probably caught in, I'd say, 10 foot of water, maybe 10, 12 foot of water. And both times, the bigger fish seem to be closer to deeper water also. Let me point that out. Because you could go in the back of a creek, way back in the back of a creek and catch some big fish too. But that's not where I find them on Eufaula. They'll be close to the deeper water, whether it be out on the river or close to a creek mouth. A creek mouth is a very good place to try to catch a bigger fish, because they're moving in from the deeper water, and they'll stage on these places. But the morning fish are feeding. I'm just saying, as soon as that sun cracks, and it's that's when these big fish will eat.
And when would you say, like you talked about how it's not really pre-spawn yet, I guess it's pre-spawn. This time period you're talking about where the really big fish are coming in, coming out of the main lake, moving to the mouths of the creeks, putting on the feed bags, starting to think about, pre-spawn. What time period would you say? I think, you were talking, you said something like December through January, February was when you were looking to catch your really big fish.
Yeah, I mean, right now and through, say, February, March, you can catch big fish in March too. But I think most of the bigger ones will come in the colder months, late fall, winter. And, I've caught some real big fish in March too. But the bigger ones seem to come, that time of year. In other words, December, January, February, and say, March also, is when I've caught the bigger fish. I mean, you can catch big fish in summer too, but I'm
Sure.
just talking about a big fish, a double digit. And we used to the lake, years ago was impounded at 63. It was incredible. And the lake doesn't fish like it used to, but there's some double digit fish in that lake. There's probably not many, but they can be caught. They can be caught. The older fish are smarter. So you got to pick your baits and your timing and everything. It's just I like fishing this time of year, because part of the reason is not just that you might catch a giant bass, is that a lot of people are deer hunting, and you don't have all the boat traffic, and you can, there's a lot of reasons that I like this time of year. So,
Well, walk us through. I know you've fished Lake Eufaula for so long that you probably know it like the back of your hand. But for the guys who are listening in, for people on other lakes, right? Each lake fishes a little bit different, but there's some similarities, right? Like bass are bass, and they tend to do bass things regardless of where they're at. What would be your process if you were going to try to walk somebody through targeting trophy bass December through February? Like where do you start? Like if somebody just sat there and said, hey, like if there was a new lake that opened up tomorrow that was within fishing distance of you, I guess would be one way to put it. Like knowing what you know, how would you start breaking down a lake to try to find those wintertime spots? Like do you start by looking at a map? Do you drive around? Like what's your process look like?
well, you're gonna have some good electronics. I think we talked about that before. You need to have, an excellent map, and because a lot of these bigger fish are gonna be close to a creek. The mouth of a creek, like I said that earlier, is an excellent place where these big fish will get, and they'll get there before they move in shallow to spawn. And You certainly have to have electronics, and you got to have some seat time. I mean, you're just not going to go out there and wing it. And yeah, anybody can get lucky, but this time of year, I'm looking at, ditches and mouse of creeks off the river or off a bigger creek, for example. You'll have ditches and drains that come off a bigger creek, so it's not necessarily the river all the time. But a lot of these fish stay out deep. With this front-facing sonar, people are finding out that a lot of these big fish stay out deep all the time, and that's one thing that front-facing sonar has taught. A lot of them would be fishing shallow this time of year,
Right.
but you have to take into consideration the weather. One thing, because what, a week or two ago we had, well, it was about a week and a half ago, we had like 6 inches of rain down here, and the lake went up to like 191. Well, I mean, if you're going to go out in a situation like that, I would be a little more shallow, fishing a little shallower, because the water came up that high. So you have to take into consideration the actual situation that the lake that you're fishing is in. You follow will go up and down a lot. Like I think the Tennessee River up there, say your Tennessee lakes like Guntersville and Wheeler and all them, they'll fluctuate too. But seems like the Chattahoochee goes up and down a little quicker when we get pretty good rain, and it'll stain up pretty good also. It's just trying to clear up, right now.
Right. When you talk about watching the weather and watching the rain, the water levels and everything, do you find that they feed heavier if you've had some warmer weather? Does a cold front make them feed more? Like, does the surface temperature make any difference? And then do you ever look at like water temperature? Like, are you trying to find areas where the surface temperature is a little bit warmer, or are you just mainly just looking at the bottom of the lake and you just know the bass will be there regardless of temperature and weather?
Well, on your electronics, you need to always have your temperature on your screen. I mean, you always need to be looking at that. And what we've got now is the water temperatures in the 50s, high 50s, and it'll warm up in the 60s. The other day, it warmed up to like 60, 61, but it started out 57. So if you go down there and the water's in the 50s, that's, or low 50s, that's a prime temperature to catch a big fish. They seem to be more active at that time, when the water gets down in the 50s. And I mean, you can catch a big fish in 40s too. I would think, if I had to guess, that 10-7 came in, say, high 40s,
Really?
based on when I caught it, January. I would say it was probably pushing around 50 if I had to guess. I caught it January 2nd, so I would say low 50s for sure. But that 12 pounder, it probably came a little bit colder weather. The 12 pounder came on a jig off the river, and I already said that, that 10-7 I'm looking at came on a crankbait. But
Right.
I lost one. Was it last year or year before? On a tail spinner, which is basically like a little George. And I lost one that day. I was by myself. I was out there, and I knew it was huge, and it came up, and it was one of the longest fish that I've ever hooked lately. And I didn't, the only reason why I lost it, 'cause it bent the hook out. And I was devastated, 'cause that's one of the biggest fish I've had lately. You know what I mean? I'm talking about double digit. It was a double digit fish, but I couldn't get it in. Of course, all I would have done was take a picture of it, and I would have put it back. That 12 pounder that I got a picture of, we threw it back. I just wouldn't go. I wouldn't go keep it.
Yeah, that's I don't think I could have the heart to kill a 10 or 12 pound fish. I figure at that point you've been
No.
here long enough, you may as well stick around for another few years.
Well, you never know. They might have babies that end up being 12 pounds.
Yeah, that's it. Don't want to mess with them genetics. Well, You talking about a bass straightening the hook out, which is just wild to me to hear. I've had a few, catfish straighten out hooks on limb lines and stuff like that. And I know saltwater, I've had that happen. I don't think I've ever had a bass straighten out tackle, but now I've also never hooked a double digit bass before. And we're going to take a quick break. Y'all take a minute to check out some of the businesses that keep this show free for you. This week's episode of the Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report has been brought to you by. You mentioned you fished with a crankbait. You mentioned you caught the other one on a jig. Is there, so it sounds right. That's two pretty different things, but do you have baits that you favor in the winter? And then are you specifically, like if you're fishing for a 10 or 12 pound fish, are you specifically paying attention to your terminal tackle to make sure that it can hold up to it? Or do you feel like that's pretty rare for a bass that big to straighten a hook?
Well, these tail spinners, they just have one treble hook. And so that came into play because, a jig has a really big, heavy hook on it, and then your crankbaits have two treble hooks. So you've got more hook to keep the fish on. But the tail spinner is just got one treble hook. And it's just one of those things. I wish I could have, I was trying to keep him buttoned up. If I had somebody in the boat with me, I might could have got it because I got it close, but it came out right. I was trying to hold the net, and it's tough holding the net because you just kind of tough to lip one of those when you got the rod in one hand. It's a juggling act sometimes by yourself. But there's some baits that you'd want to throw to catch a big fish, and certainly a jig. This time of year, the fish love crawfish, and that's really a crawfish imitator. I'll tell you another technique that you can catch is a Carolina rig. I've been throwing these creature baits, ultra-vibe speed crawl. The Magnum Zoom came out with the bigger one, and I've been throwing it on a Carolina rig, and that bait is catching some really big fish on Eufaula, and I got to believe it'll catch them on Gunnersville or any of the other, lakes like West Point, or even Seminole. I'm sure it'll catch them down there in Seminole. You can catch fish in Seminole, even though you got grass. Of course, right now in Seminole, they're probably using the lipless and ripping it out of the hydrilla down there. We just don't have hydrilla like we used to have. But both of those fish that I was talking about that I caught had nothing to do with grass, probably more wood than it had to do with grass. And both of them were on hard bottoms. So, I mean, those were the two things.
As you talk, I'm sitting here jotting down notes about creek mouths and ditches and hard bottoms and all that. I'd love to give this a shot somewhere down here. Is that usually your go-to? Is to start off with either something like a Carolina rig or a jig and just kind of bottom fish first, or are you just letting your sonar tell you?
Well, I'll be honest with you. If you're starting out, you need to use your side scan, and now, of course, you got front-facing sonar. I mean, if you're really good at it, you can tell if a fish is a big fish by the way it shows up on your screen. So I haven't mastered that yet. I do have it on my boat. I do look at it, but I've had so much seat time on the lake that I pretty much know where I can catch me a big fish on the lake because it's sometimes history doesn't repeat itself, but this time of year, I think it's more predictable in the cold months, the way these fish act. And so I can't stress, instead of laying in bed till 9 o'clock and getting down there at say 11 or 12 when it gets warmer, if I was trying to catch me a big fish, I'd be there at the crack of dawn or even before and get out there on these places, and you'd be surprised. These fish will, it's amazing how they'll pull up in the same place that I'll catch one early in the morning. If I come back to that same place where I caught the big fish, they won't be there. They've moved out. They may have moved in, but they're not there. So it's almost predictable. I've got two or three places down there that if you don't go there first thing, you're messing up, you know. And yeah, I mean, you could catch a giant bag in these places if you get there at the crack of dawn. And there's something about these big fish, they like to eat first thing in the morning. It's amazing.
So you talk about getting on them first thing in the morning. How long will you stick with a spot, right, before you pick up and move and go try to hit another creek mouth?
You know, I most times I'm gonna stay. My first stop is gonna be a good stop for sure, whether I'm by myself or on a guide trip. You know, we'll go right there, and I'll usually if I feel like they're there and I'm looking at my electronics and all, it depends. Most times I'll stay at least 30 minutes. You know, sometimes you pull in there and they're just not there. They're not feeding. You know what I'm saying? But most times they are. But there's so many different factors too. You know, you got to think about the water temperature for sure. Is the water stained? You know, it might change your bait that you throw. For example, if you're throwing plastics, you want to throw something darker if the water's stained, because it shows up better than stained water, or something very bright. But most times it's a darker bait. Your June bugs, you know, and then of course there's some darker baits. Black, pure black can be an excellent color when it's stained. And most times when the water's stained, they'll get up a little shallower. But it's a fun time to go out there. I'm headed down there tomorrow.
So if you're there for 30 minutes, I know I try to do that, you know, get to a spot where you feel like the fishing's going to be good and you try to catch a few fish, and then eventually, you know, you kind of sit there and you say, okay, well, I'm going to give this another X minutes, you know. So if you're there and you say, okay, well, I'm going to give it 30 minutes, what does your process look like? Like, I know I always get to the point where I tend to start fishing kind of conservatively. And I tend to speed up more toward the end, right? Like, and maybe that's wrong, but like a lot of times I'll try to fish, you know, tease a bite out of them and then go towards trying to be more aggressive. And I know some guys who they'll start out and they'll fish real aggressive and then they'll slow down, right? Do you prefer one approach over the other, or what does that look like? Like as you get closer to that 30-minute mark before you just say, okay, well, we're gonna go try something different.
Well, you know, and I'm just talking about, I hated to really say 30 minutes, because in some cases, if I get in there and we're not getting a bite, and I don't see anything, I don't see any bait, because bait could be, if you see bait on your electronics, that's certainly a good indicator that there'll be some predator fish around. But it's not necessarily 30 minutes. It depends, because guess what? Where I started, there's like three or four other places that I could go. So I can hit four places in an hour, maybe. You follow me if I wanted to.
Sure.
Like if I'm fishing a tournament, I may want to fish, you know, four places in an hour or two. You know what I mean? And so it's just, I've got, you know, I love this time of year because it's more predictable. A lot of times I say, well, you don't want to fish memories, but I fish more memories this time of year than I do any other time of the year. And I would have to say that because I've been doing it so long. And so, yeah, it's, you got to get out there this time of year. I know if you really love to fish and you've never fished this time of year, you're missing out. I know a lot of people pick up the gun and go hunting. And I used to have my best friend, he would always hunt. And I never picked that up. And he would always call me on Sunday. He says, man, how's the fishing doing? And I'd tell him, and I mean, it's just, you know, I'm out there by myself just wearing them out. And he would put his gun down occasionally and come with me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To fit one in, a trip in. But it's just the big fish, just this time of year, the next 3 months, it's on. They feed up. You know, because they're fixing to spawn. You know, they say what, 60 degrees? These fish will spawn, and I've seen it on Lake Eufaula. We get a cold, I mean, a warm January. I've seen spawning fish in, I'm talking about January. You know, it's amazing. You know, you get a warming trend, and that can that can change, you know, the situation. But it's not just one thing. It's these fish are eating. I mean, they're eating right now. And we went yesterday, and we caught a 5 pounder and a 4.5 pounder, you know, which is not a double digit, but it was a big, two big ones. And those fish were shallow. I mean, those fish were in, I guess, 8 to 10, something like that. So, but and there's a lot of fish, a lot of big fish that get deep this time of year now. I don't want to just, you know, say 8 or 10 foot. There's a lot of big fish that get deep, 15, 20, 25, and these, you know, the folks that are doing the front facing sonar, they know because you see them out there, and they'll be related to wood, like standing timber or whatever. Those big bass will get around wood just like crappie do. And I've caught some giants on a jigging spoon where you get directly over them and drop it vertically down. Oh yeah, that jigging spoon can be a good bait.
I'm writing that down too. So jigging spoons, Carolina rigs, and jigs. I like it.
Jigs and a crankbait and a tail spinner. I mean the
Crankbaits.
tail spinner. I mean, oh yeah. Now I'm not saying you couldn't catch one on a say a shaky head or something like that. I had a guy call me today that went down there and caught a 5 and a 6, and he caught it on a big old monster worm, and he was dragging it on a Carolina rig. And it's just you wouldn't think that an old monster worm would be this time of year, but he caught him on a Carolina rig, old monster, and it was a, I think he said it was a June bug, and he caught a 6 and a 5 in probably 8 to 10 foot of water. And so that's not a double digit, but it's still a good fish.
For sure. Yeah. Now I think there's a, you know, catching big fish is always fun. I do find it really interesting though. Like just the idea of a double digit bass is just crazy. And I want to circle back to something that you said about like fishing memories this time of the year in the winter. And you talk about how those big fish seem to be more consistent in the winter. Do you have spots? 'Cause like tying it into deer hunting, I'm guilty of being one of those people. I deer hunt more than I bass fish in the wintertime, but I definitely have spots as a deer hunter that I'm very loyal to at certain times of the year because I have those memories. I'm like, no, I know deer run this ridge this time of the year. Like they're using this ridge to get from this 500 acres to that 500 acres. And you know, like a big buck ran across here 3 years ago and he's going to run across it this year if I just got to be here at the right time. Do you find that, you know, the places where you've caught those really big bass in the past, like do those continue to be good places that produce big bass like year after year? I guess is there such a thing as like a big bass spot where they just like, you know, I've seen that in some of the rivers that we have down here where it's like, hey, that falling down log right over there at that undercut bank always holds big fish. Like, have you ever noticed anything like that?
Yeah, people say one of the big terms in bass fishing is community hole. Well, a community hole is, you know, everybody fishes it, everybody knows about it, but, you know, community holes are not just all the time. A lot of them are seasonal, you know, maybe in the summer. You see community holes really more in the summer and maybe early fall community holes. But what I'm talking about, some special places that were set up like I was talking about earlier, creek mouths, you know, and there's got to be a deep exit for them, these bigger fish. They've got to have the river or deep ditch to when they get up there and feed in the shallow water, it seems like they move out. And so it's the early morning is what I'm stressing on these places. And the places where I've caught these big fish are really not community holes, is what I'm saying.
I mean, that definitely makes sense if you.
Well, you have to have seat time. I keep going back to seat time. See, I've been fishing the lake so long, you know what I mean? And I'm not saying a younger angler couldn't learn what I've learned over the years, especially with the electronics out, the maps and stuff. I was learning when we had paper maps. I mean, I used to fish with a paper graph, you know, Lowrance paper graph, and we used to call it burning paper. That was the if you had, one of those, you that's when you could really get offshore and maybe mark these fish. And so the electronics is just, I mean, it's just getting better and better. The front facing sonar is getting better. Side scan is getting better. It's just amazing. But you got to have good electronics if you're going to go out there and try and catch a double digit bass. But a lot of these places that I'm that's in the back of my head, brain, I've learned over the years. So don't be afraid to get out there early in the morning when it's cold. Wrap up and don't overwrap, because if you have an accident and fall in, I recommend wearing a life jacket this time of year too, because if you fall in the lake, you certainly don't want to freak out, because I mean, I've done it before, because the more you wrap up, once your garments get wet, it's hard to get your head above water. Because one time I fell in, I didn't have my life jacket. Well, I had a tough time. I don't want to go into that, but just wear a life jacket. These ones that, inflate, they won't get in your way. You'll see a lot of pros. I mean, they'll have the life jackets on this time of year.
For sure. Yeah, it always they'll tell you always need to wear your life jacket, and I agree, but something about cold weather will definitely make you more cautious about it for sure. I'm that way. Like, the colder it is, the more likely I am to have that life jacket on me instead of sitting next to me or under a seat somewhere. And then I had a buddy who learned the hard way. You don't want to be figuring out how to climb in your boat when it's cold. Like, you want to know how to get in the boat, and you want either an emergency ladder off the transom or some sort of plan. Like, you don't want to be trying to figure out in real time when the water temperature's, like you were saying, 40s, 50s. You don't want to be trying to figure out, well, how do I get back up in my boat now, even if you are wearing a life jacket. So we're going to take a quick break. Y'all take a minute to check out some of the businesses that keep this show free for you. This week's episode has been brought to you by Bucks Island. Is a family-owned and operated business since 1948. They have new pontoon boats, bass boats, bow riders, and aluminum boats for sale. They love trade-ins for boats and motors. They can rig your boat or ship your new motor anywhere in the United States. They provide boat service on all kinds of boats, even if they weren't purchased from Bucks. They have factory-trained and certified technicians. Visit them at 4500 Highway 77, Southside, Alabama, 35907 zip code, or give them a call at 256-442-2588. I want to circle back too, though, because, like, you've mentioned, like, you need time in the seat, and you can't be afraid of the cold. Like, you just got to get out there and you got to do it. And I feel like that for me is probably a lot of what keeps me from fishing in the winter, because, like, in the summer and in the spring, it's pleasant. You want to be out. So I've logged more days over the years. I've got a lot more seat time fishing in the spring and summer, and the fall, basically when it's pleasant to be out there. And it's tough to drag yourself up out of bed on an early morning. But then, from what you're saying, like, you can't just do it once and expect to go catch a 10-pound bass, right? Like, oh, I woke up early and I got out here and it's 25 degrees and I'm gonna fish this creek mouth and catch a bass. Like, you have to do it and do it and do it and do it. And I mean, that's tough. It's always cold. It's colder out on the water. So I guess, what's your best tips besides just bundling up? Like, the mental game there has got to be a big part of it. Like, how do you stay motivated consistently getting out there when it's 20s and 30s, and you're trying to log that seat time?
Don't get me wrong now. I'm not saying that it has to be just brutally cold. I'm just saying, like 40 feet, whatever. I mean, a lot of fishermen, like when I get down there and I put in at Lake Point, there's not a whole lot of trailers there, for example. And they'll show up later on. They're waiting for it to get warmer. Well, guess what? I'm already out there and I've already done some good. You know what I mean? It's fish behavior. You learn fish behavior by going out there and fishing. You know, it's not necessarily just the electronics, it's everything. You know, you learn each trip that you go out there, you're going to learn something. It's, I mean, the behavior of these fish just changes certain times of the year. This time of year is, it's, I mean, I can't stress, you know, enough to get out there earlier and just, you know, I mean, deer hunters, I mean, you guys get up, it's dark. I see them getting up, you know, and I'm going down 431. I see all the trucks, they're parked off side of the road hunting in the land, you know, and so they're already up and they're bundled up. And so it's the same way with fishermen. Shoot, some of these crappy fishermen, they'll get out there overnight. They'll get up underneath the bridge and it's just, and they'll wear them out. And it's cold, you know, through the night.
I can testify down here where I'm at. I see way more. Anybody looking to figure out secrets to cold weather fishing, go ask the crappie angler in your life, because I've been out there duck hunting before.
That's what I'm saying.
And I'm out there freezing in my duck hunting gear on a creek somewhere. And then next thing you know, around the corner, here comes this dude bundled up with a spider rig. And I'm just like, man, you'd have to be crazy to get out here and be crappie fishing today. Like, dude had to break ice to get that one
it's
in the
the
water.
Truth. Yeah. I mean, I see them all the time. Matter of fact, I'll be putting in the morning and they'll be coming out. You know, I'll talk to them and they'll open up the box and show me. They'll have 60, 30 apiece. You know, I'm going like, man. And I'll try and talk them into, I'll give them my card. So they call me when you get them filleted out. I need to see you, you know, and they'll laugh. And I'm just kidding with them. But, you know, hey.
Yeah.
But they're out there in the cold and each fish bite, I'm telling you.
That brings up a question. Like, you talk about crappie anglers and them having just wads of fish. And that's something I've heard before, is that the good thing about winter fishing is if you find the fish, right? Like, once you've found them, you know, you catch one, don't move, keep fishing, there'll be more. And I've talked with crappie anglers that say that, yeah, crappie will just pile up in cold water. Is that true for bass? Like, if you catch one big bass, are your odds of catching another big bass in that same hole higher in the winter?
I'm glad you asked that question. They will get in packs, especially like if you're out jigging a spoon or something, you can catch some bigger fish. Like, you can catch a bunch of them. I ain't say, you know, just wear them out, but you can catch some of the bigger fish. Most times you'll catch two or three good fish. Now, catching a double digit, you know, that's going to be tough, you know, the way the lakes are now, you know, because you just don't have that many in the lake. And that's just the ecology of the lake and all that stuff. I'm not saying that they're not in that lake, because there are, but, you know, some of these lakes just have bigger fish in it. You know what I'm saying? It's just, even Guntersville, for example, it'd be tough to catch a double digit up there, I would think. Over the years, it's just been fishing pressure and all that stuff has something to do with it. But you can still catch a double digit bass. I mean, I had one on a year, like I was telling you, I lost it getting the hook out. So it doesn't happen all the time, but the fish are predictable, more predictable this time of year, I think, than they are any other time. You know, because we start getting into the spawn, you know, the fish can be anywhere, you know, shallow and where they're spawning and stuff. So that's a whole different ball game. But these fish are, they're actively feeding on shad and crawfish. Is certainly, crawfish get real active this time of year when the water gets cold. And that's what makes that jig, you know, a jig can be 365 days a year. But, you know, it's all about tricking them, you know. But these older fish are tough to catch, you know, because they didn't get that big by being easy. Let's put it that way.
For sure. Yeah, I've read that. I've had read multiple fisheries biologists say that, you know, it was noticeable, and that they've done studies in small bodies of water, right? You know, like, you think private ponds and stuff like that, where, you know, you catch and harvest fish, you're catch and release, and you have mortality and stuff like that. But they say that, you know, as you catch fish, it's the ones that are left are the ones who are the hardest to catch. Like the big fish have
Right.
done it all, seen it all, and whether it's that they learn to stay away from a lure, or it's just, natural selection, right? The ones who are just a little bit smarter, a little bit more hesitant about what they eat, they're the ones who survive, and it's not so much learned, and they're just born with that trait and it serves them well in life. I've heard that from multiple fisheries biologists.
That's true. I mean, I agree. I agree. I agree with you
Yeah.
on that. That's very true. These fish, they get smart, and you got to outsmart them. And it's all about timing, throwing the right lure. I mean, just because you don't get a bite on one lure, try something else. I mean, fishing is not just one way. And if you watch TV or YouTube or the fishing programs, people get locked into what they see on TV, and they think, well, that's going to be the thing that'll work, on their home lake. And don't be afraid to think out of the box. Like my friend that I talked to today, I mean, I wouldn't have thrown a big worm on a Carolina rig, not this time of year. I've got other stuff I would throw, but he caught two big fish on a Carolina rig down there. I mean, it was an old monster, June bug worm. I mean, it's just and I was proud of him,
So you talk about trying something different. Is there anything that you do in winter that's and we when we've you've given us a really good deep dive on it, but is there anything unconventional or surprising that you do that may take people off guard if they're fishing with you in the winter? Is there anything where you mix it up and do something just radically different from what you would do in the summertime?
Well, I'll tell you another bait that doesn't get talked about a lot is a blade bait, and a blade bait historically is a cold water wintertime bait, but the blade bait can work in a whole lot of different situations. It doesn't have to be just cold weather. I mean, I've caught them in the summertime on it, and it's kind of reactionary, just like the tail spinner is. Like a spoon, for example, the flutter spoon. I mean, they're all reactionary. You lift it up, you yo-yo it, and it falls. Well, the bigger fish usually will be below the more active fish, and they just hang out looking to get maybe a dying shad that one of the other fish may be injured, and so they float down. And so they that's a those three baits, they are hard to resist. To turn down for a bigger fish, and I just mentioned it, the tail spinner, blade bait, and then your flutter spoon. But you can do just a 3/4 ounce jigging spoon also, and that's where you get vertically over them and you see them on traditional downscan, not downscan, traditional, and like 200, and then drop it right in front of them because you can see the arches down there, and they'll, of course, you can use front-facing sonar and do it on the down mode, and you watch the fish react to it. So, I mean, those are big fish baits, and like I say, I mean, there's other baits that you can get. I'm not going to say that you there's not a big fish in say 8 to 10 foot of water, as there can be. But my thing is to try different things. Don't get hung up on one thing. If it doesn't work, if you know the fish are there, experiment. You can't do the same thing you do in the summer this time of year. I mean, you can. Some baits work all year round, but I'm talking about like summer baits. I'm not saying you can't catch a big fish on a deep diving crankbait, because you can. It's just you have to try different things.
For sure.
Every day's different. Sometimes the weather, or like tomorrow, there's a front moving in. It's supposed to rain maybe in the afternoon. Well, these fish ought to be, they always talk about, your front moving in and the fish get real active. And we'll see what happens tomorrow. But I'm headed down there tomorrow to break in the new boat.
There we go. Yeah, I know we've talked a little bit about your boat, and I'm at some point. Everybody listening in, Grouse talks about toughing it out in the cold weather, but he's got heated seats now. So talk about putting in seat time in the winter. That's I bet that's something.
Now you're putting me on the spot.
Now I'm giving away your secrets. That's how Grouse catches all his big bass. He gets his heated seat out and he just camps all morning.
I haven't turned it on. It's got heated seats. I haven't pushed the button. I imagine it won't be tomorrow. I'll tell you that because it's not going to be that cold. But
I
it's fixing to
imagine.
get colder here the next couple of weeks. So.
I imagine when that happens and it gets colder the first time you turn them on, you're gonna be like, this is gonna be like the first time I ever turned on a heated vest out deer hunting. Borrowed a buddy's, and I was like, man, where was this? Where was this 10 years ago? You know?
I love the heated vest. God almighty. I mean, that is a game changer.
They come out with a lot of new stuff, the heated vests and the heated insoles. Like, there's a lot of stuff where I'm like, man, I wish I'd had this 10, 15 years ago when I was first starting out, because I suffered greatly back in the day wearing uninsulated rubber boots on 20-degree mornings with 4 pair of cotton socks on, trying desperately to keep my toes warm, and it did not work well. And we're going to take a quick break. Y'all take a minute to check out some of the businesses that keep this show free for you. This week's episode has been brought to you by. Did you know every 40 seconds someone has a heart attack or stroke? In that moment, every second counts and every critical decision matters. AirMed Care Network's air ambulance providers can bring life-saving care directly to those in need at a moment's notice. With 320 locations across 38 states, AirMed Care is the largest air ambulance network. Rest assured, they've got you and your entire household covered. Membership is just $99 a year or just $79 for seniors. Visit gdo.com/airmedcare to enroll. Guys, you've given us a bunch of information, but on that note, I just want to ask you, like, I had that conversation with a buddy the other day regarding deer hunting. Like, if you could go back in time, 20 years ago and tell a younger version of yourself what you know now, what advice would you give yourself now if you could go back to when you first started trying to target big bass?
You're talking about just from like right now, say if I was starting, you talking about starting over or whatever, or giving somebody advice?
Yeah, I guess both. Like, if you could give yourself advice, if you could go back
And change what happened?
and, well, or just give yourself, like, I'll give you an example. Like, if I could give myself deer hunting advice, I would go back and find myself when I was young and a hard charger, and I would say, hey, that's great that you're enthusiastic and everything, but just trust me, stay out of your best spots until after Christmas. Like, don't burn up your spots. Don't go hunt them and stink up the woods and everything. Like, just give it a break. 'Cause I was guilty of a little too much enthusiasm, and it took me a long time to find out that sometimes the best thing you can do in the early part of deer season is just stay out the woods. Don't mess up a good thing that's coming. So yeah, like, if you could go back and talk to yourself back when you first started out, knowing what you know now, what would you tell yourself?
I tell you, and I think I kind of mentioned it earlier, you can't get frustrated. So if you go out, say this time of year, and you don't do well, you have to have the passion to master the craft. And these places that I'm talking about that I would go to this time of year, it's not something I would go to in the summertime because the fish aren't going to be there. These fish are in these places. And I've learned it over time by just not getting frustrated, because you have to learn by your mistakes. Say you make a mistake or you lose a fish or whatever. All each time you go out, you're going to learn something, and that's what you got to look at fishing is to learn something each time you go out, because the next time it may be completely different. The weather will be different, whatever. When I was coming up, we didn't have the electronics we have now. That's why you have a lot of the people, the younger generation, that get a hold of the electronics, and they're mastering it quicker than I did. We'd have a paper map, and we'd have to struggle with that. We'd line up, stuff on the bank, a tree or somebody's dock or whatever it might be. I mean, we went yesterday, and I was telling my buddy that I was with, to that pine tree there, and he agreed, and so they brought two good ones. And it's just, I think some of the people, the listeners, they get tied up with a certain bait that they see somebody catch a big fish on TV, and they think that it's the bait and maybe a certain color or whatever. And really what I'm saying is it's not necessarily that way when you go to your lake. You know, there's plenty of videos on YouTube, and they're in a different lake that's really more productive. They have grass, and we don't have grass down there. We used to, but you know, if we had grass in Eufaula, shoot, it would be incredible. It would be like Guntersville, for example. You know, they had a Black Friday tournament at Guntersville the other day, and there was like 5 bags over 30 pounds, 5 fish over 30 pounds. And I think 34 or 35 pounds won the tournament, but they've got grass, and we just don't have that. It's amazing. Certain times of the year, and we're talking about, you know, late November, December. I mean, it's happening. I guarantee you, Guntersville and Seminole is hot right now. I mean, it's that time of year because you can rip the stuff out of the grass. I'm not sure exactly how they caught them. I'm sure they were pinging a minnow also, I'm sure. But there were some people throwing some lipless crankbaits, and there's a bait that can catch a big fish too. I didn't mention it, but catch some big fish on a lipless crankbait this time of year too. But Seminole, they got the hydrilla. It's you know, Eufaula had hydrilla, but what got us was Hurricane Michael when it came up, and then of course, they started spraying the lake, but that's another story. But it was incredible. We had hydrilla in the lake, and maybe one day it'll come back. It'll take a while.
Right.
All these lakes go through different, you know, they lose the grass and the grass will come back. It happens a lot up on some of the Tennessee River lakes too. There was a time when Guntersville didn't have as much grass as it has down. So it's just, you know, the bigger fish get to hide in the grass and stuff like that. It's fish behavior, and this time of year they'll stack up, and the bigger fish will stack together a lot of times. Whereas certain times of year you'll have a big fish mixed in with some of the smaller ones, the 2 pounders and all that stuff. So it's more predictable this time of year. The next 2, 3 months, it's more predictable than I think other times of the year can be.
Well, I like what you were saying earlier, circling back to being patient, not getting frustrated, not trying to get hung up on the next new miracle bait, you know, just steady time, just time in the seat. I like that. You said that several times. I think you dropped several good gems, you know, time in the seat, get up early, be persistent, and, you know, kind of build information. Don't just look at this year's bass fishing season. Look at it next year, you know, learn things, keep track of what you remembered. And, you know, that's what I'm always shooting for, is to try to wake up one day and have, you know, years of experience that you can pull from, you know. And I've gotten that way with some of my hunting endeavors, more so than my fishing endeavors. But I like to joke, you know, a mature deer, 5 and a half, 6 and a half year old deer, about the only advantage you got on him is that hopefully he'll live to be 70, 80, and he's only 6 years old. So I may not know the woods quite as well as he knows them. I'm not in them every day, but if I'm in them enough for enough years, we get to the point where we're kind of on a level playing field. So I feel like you're saying the same thing applies to bass, you know, like nobody knows the water better than a big old bass, but if you stick with them long enough and you spend enough years paying attention, you'll get to the point where you can figure them out. I think I really appreciate your time. I think that's been an awesome deep dive. It's got me fired up wanting to go try to catch some big fish. I don't know if I'll catch a double digit bass, but I'm gonna put that on my list this year before spring to get out there and try to catch at least one big fish for my area. If folks wanna learn more, if folks want to go book a trip with you and try to get after a big bass, where's a good place for them to look you up?
Well, I'm on Facebook, Graz's Guide Service, and I've got my website, grazesguideservice.com, and they can call me on my phone or text 706-593-4192. And, you know, I can't promise a double digit, but I've had plenty catch some 7 pounders, last year. Maybe one day somebody may catch a double digit. That'd be wild. It'd blow my mind for sure. And I promise I'll have the net in the boat. So if you get a big one on, I'll get the net for you. I guarantee you. Problem was yesterday I went out, we caught a couple big ones, and I forgot to put the net in the boat. So I'm gonna put the net in the boat before I go tomorrow morning. I promise.
There we go.
Anything can happen when you got one of those big ones mowing the rod, sagging and all that stuff. So
Man, that's got me excited. I definitely want to get out there and go do it. And Graz, I definitely appreciate your time, folks. Y'all check them out if y'all looking for a good guide over there in the Lake Eufaula area. And everybody listening in, Merry Christmas, Graz. Hope you and yours have a very Merry Christmas. If I don't talk to you again before then, y'all have a Happy New Year.
Nick, I appreciate you having me, man. Merry Christmas to you.
All right, folks, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen to podcasts. And again, don't forget to text that code ALFFR to 779-345-2918. Again, just text ALFFR, it's Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report, to 779-345-2918. Subscribe to our email list, and we'll send you the promo code via email. This week's episode of the Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report has been brought to you by Fish Bites. Whether you're hitting the sand with set rig or fishing the flats and marshes for speckled trout, redfish, and flounder, Fish Bites has something for you. Check out the full line of scented saltwater and freshwater baits at fishbites.com. Also brought to you by Killer Dock combines durability, function, and design to uniquely upgrade your entire dock experience. Visit killerdock.com to see more. Also brought to you by Southeastern Pond Management. Since 1989, Southeastern Pond Management has been a leader in pond and lake management services. Schedule an obligation-free consultation today. Call 1-888-830-POND or info@sepond.com. Also brought to you by L&M Marine. L&M Marine has something for everyone, from small hunting boats to pontoons to bigger bay and hybrid boats for the hardcore angler. You can visit them at 34600 Highway 59 in Stapleton, Alabama, or give them a call at 251-937-1380.